Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, last show of June, this 27th.
And actually, programming note, very quickly, last show for a couple of weeks. I'm going to be on a cruise.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the cruise I won on that drunken charity event that I was at. Well, I was drunk. The charity event wasn't. And I.
You didn't win it. You paid for it.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, I paid for it in so many different ways. And now, I can tell you something. You know, it's interesting. The excursions, not from the ship itself, but the excursions, like if I want to go a half a day, and I think we're looking in certain areas of Greece, like $600 for a half a day with a driver. It was crazy.
Seems high.
Yeah, I know. I thought so as well. So needless to say, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be doing some other things. How was your week?
It's good. Watching these tech stocks collapse.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting. I was over in Bimini.
Oh, you were in Bimini?
Yeah, Bimini, the Bahamas. Took the boat over to the Bahamas.
Were you with the boat? Was the boat called the Hubba Hubba?
Yeah. It was interesting. Because, you know, we just got this new boat. So it was our first run over there. It was pretty rough on the way.
How long does it take to get to Bimini from your house?
Well, it should take getting out from my house to the ocean itself is about 25 minutes. And then the run over to Bimini should take under 2 hours, but it took us about 2.5, 2:45. It was pretty rough out there on the way there. On the way back, it took us an hour and a half.
Ah, so you had headwinds on the way out.
Yep, we had headwinds and 4-foot seas.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty ugly.
Did you get sick?
No. Nope. The only time I get sick is when there's really big rollers. You know, when the just like that up and down. And
yeah.
And you know, that up slow. And when I'm doing something maybe like under the gunnel, I'm like maybe tying a knot or I'm fiddling with something, whatever. I've known not to do that.
I get sick if I'm at the front, very front of the boat.
Yeah. That's the worst place.
Yeah.
The worst place is up front and up high.
Yeah. You just get sick. It's like. There are apparently cures for this. There's pills you can take. There's some wristband you can wear. I don't know.
Yeah, the pill is meclizine.
Is it meclizine?
Meclizine is good. I haven't really tried any of those other things, but I know just looking at the horizon, it's like those people who do spins and they don't get dizzy because they know how to move their head just right.
Yeah.
You know, like the ballerinas and dancers. It's kind of the same thing when you get in the groove and you're on a boat and you get your sea legs. What happened was, though, because of it was so rough, that night when I got off the boat and I was in the hotel, I still felt like I was moving.
No.
You know, so.
You're in the Bimini Hotel.
Yeah, I was in the Bimini on the south side. But, you know, there's a couple of friends we met over there. It was a lot of fun. Caught some fish. Lobster season, unfortunately, was out of season. We saw a bunch of lobster down there we could have got, but we didn't. Went over to the Bimini Casino, which was a total ripoff. I mean, crazy amount of money for that. The whole island is maybe 5 miles from end to end.
Mm.
So the water's beautiful. This incredible bright turquoise color. Amazing. Very nice. Very, very nice. Anyway, let's talk markets here. We had some consolidation in markets over the last week. Kind of a nothing move. There's a wait for some kind of a catalyst. And the catalyst was going to be probably the whole healthcare repeal and replace, or as they're calling it now, the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. How do you like that name?
I love these names.
Yeah, the Better Care Reconciliation Act of 2017. In other words, we're going to give you better care and we're going to reconcile the crap that they gave us from before. And what happened was up until a couple of days ago, the drug stocks and hospital stocks and everything was going gangbusters. The biotechs were just ramping higher on the hopes that this was going to not be that onerous as could have been. And from what I've seen, and tell me if maybe what you've looked at, it doesn't look like this is a new plan. It just looks like they're pinching a couple of areas and expanding a few others and basically leaving the rest of it intact, except for the fact that about 20 million people will be uninsured in a few years.
It looks like patchwork.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, they didn't need a new build. All they had to do was just go in there and start patching the old one.
But I think they did this out of either lack of any kind of creativity or inability. That's what it looks like.
Well, I think it was wishful thinking. I think they didn't really want to do a patchwork mess, but the way things were set up and the mechanism and the support and all the rest of it ended up going that way. I just think they were hoping they could do something better. That's my thing. I don't think there was.
Doesn't look as it is. And the CBO came out with their assessment of this, that it's actually going to save a lot of money for the highest income. A lot of the older and sicker Americans are going to pay a lot more and have worse insurance. And about 22 million, give or take a million people, about give or take a million or so estimate, will be losing their coverage over the next several years. Now, what happened today was, and actually what happened over the weekend was that we heard that about 5 Republican senators said that they're not voting for it. That's a problem. They can only lose about 2.
2.
That's it. So 5 said no. And this is on the heels of, I think, President Trump saying something like the House plan was a mean-spirited plan because of the amount of people that will be losing their insurance. And there's not a lot of benefits here that have really solved that problem. But now today they announced that they're going to be waiting till after the July 4th recess. So I guess they're going to be coming back July 10th to hopefully vote on this, even though they thought they would vote on this week. And markets got rattled on that, as well as some other Fed comments today.
Yeah, well, this is not going to pass. I don't know why I wonder what would happen if they said the last minute, said, we're just going to universalize Medicare, which of course is what I've been advocating. Because that would get the Democrats on board, because they couldn't say no to that.
And that would be a different plan. That would be a repeal and replace. That would be, possibly maybe not a better care, but a kind of, maybe they'll rename it somewhat better care Reconciliation Act of 2017.
Well, it's a proven system that they could put in place rather quickly and easily. Right. You get more people to vote for it, especially because all the Democrats would have to come on board.
Yeah.
So all you need is those same 5 Republicans to vote. Boom, you got it made.
Yeah, but they're making it hard on themselves. Now, what's happening here is a lot of question as to if they don't get this done and they go through the August recess and they don't make this happen, what's going to be the case for the potential for it happening ever? And if it doesn't happen, if they don't give away all of this and pander to the people that are saying no, will they actually be able to get some tax work done anytime soon, if at all? I think they will.
Well, they're not getting this done from what I can tell.
No.
And if it does get done, what difference does it make? It's like a still not a great anything.
Yeah. It's not going to be like the great plan that was promised. So we'll see what happens. Now, what happened today was after that, for whatever reason, Tex took it on the chin. And that could be due to the fact of the news out of what happened with Google in the with the EU.
Yeah, that's what a lot of these pundits are saying. But I would think that's almost like bad news for Google. It's got nothing to do with anybody else.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's $2.7 billion fine that they're going to be fighting.
Yeah,
for using monopolistic practices to push their own products or their stores above others on the internet, on the search. Which I don't know. I kind of go back and forth on this, that it's not like they have a monopoly. There are other search engines, not that anybody likes to use the other ones, but they don't really have a monopoly necessarily. They may have a majority of people using them, but if they have that,
monopoly is a technical term the way you're using, but they have, what they argue is they have monopoly power.
Yes.
monopoly power doesn't mean you have it necessarily have a monopoly. If you have 95% of the browser market, for example, mm-hmm. and then Opera has 1% and this has 1%. Yeah, there is an alternative, but no one's using these. You have monopoly power, so you can lord it over things. Because so many people are using it that you can abuse it. And that's what the EU is arguing. I don't agree with it. I think the EU is just look what they can. This is like a tax on American companies.
You know, but you can then state, you can go into with this set as a precedent, if they do it, you could start saying, well, Amazon has monopoly, as you mentioned, you know, monopoly power on certain internet-based shopping. And, you know, I recently...
Not so much in the EU, though.
Not in the EU, but they set a precedent like this, you don't know where it's going to go.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
So they're going to fight it. And they're going to, of course, I mean, why not fight it if it's going to cost you $100 million in attorney's fees? Why not fight it? What's the difference between $2.7 and $2.8, billion dollars?
Yeah.
I mean, just what's the difference, right? If you lose anyway, just a little bit more. So anyway, yeah, the NASDAQ was down about 1.8% today, which is pretty tough. And we've seen this. We've seen the NASDAQ 100, the big tech stocks and the big names, about once a week take a smack. Have you noticed this going on? Like everything kind of piles up a little bit, calms down, then all of a sudden a big smack. And I was thinking, what's that about? Like why are we seeing this weird pattern?
Nobody has been able to explain it adequately.
Well, how about this? How about there are players like hedge funds, institutions that are looking to unload some of the more, half the year is almost over. These stocks have run up tremendously. Take some profits off of this, but don't do it in a way that's really going to totally cave in the markets. Because don't forget, right. There's a lot fewer shares outstanding by these companies, and any major selling pressure really puts a damper on their price. So how about this? So I'm a hedge fund, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to unload some of these shares. But the way I'm going to do is I'm patient. You know, we know the market has a general bid to it right now. We know that people are coming in buying the dips. So I'm going to unload shares, and if it takes it down that day, fine, but then I'm going to lay off for a few days. Then I'll come back when things come up a little bit and calm down, and I'll hit it again. This way I'll get out of my position slowly, not rock the market too terribly, count on those dip buyers to buy back in and to chase the stock back up, and I'll get a better price on it. What do you think about that?
Well, that's the only possibility that explains this. And it would make some sense because I look at some of these prices on these stocks. I go, holy mackerel, did that affect me? I watch the ticker go by. How did these guys get so expensive?
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are.
Microsoft's at $70.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Western Digital's almost at 100. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Western Digital actually had some. You're breaking up a little bit. Hopefully it's not my horrible Comcast going on. Probably going.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, well, Comcast actually. So today I at about 10:23 in the morning, all of a sudden everything went down in my office, and I went to look at what was going on. It turns out it was a major outage across. I saw it, the whole Eastern Seaboard looked out on the I think it's called Downfinder or Down something or other, Downspotter.
I forget that.
Yeah, you sound terrible right now. Maybe it'll come back. I'm hoping it's going to come back. Let's see. Let's turn this off. You there? Hello? John? Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, somehow that didn't work. The Comcast went down at 10:23 in the morning, and then I started looking at what was going on. It seemed like a big outage, and I couldn't figure it out for a few hours. They kept on saying it's going to come back in a couple hours. And I realized that whole ransomware attack that went on today that made its way through Europe and the Ukraine, et cetera, and it was starting to hit the U.S. I was wondering if possibly there was any connection with that because the timing was very coincidental. What do you think?
It's the first thing I thought of.
I mean, I guess they could have been hit, and I don't want to tell anybody, right?
I don't see why. Yeah, they could be hit somehow. I mean, I don't know how it hit the backbone, but it's, you never know how these things are architected, so it's possible.
Yeah. So it came back at about, well, what happened was I was watching it. I saw that it was, you'll be fixed in 2 hours. You'll be fixed in, then I looked at the back, you'll be fixed in 1 hour. You'll be fixed very soon. And the next update was, you'll be fixed by tomorrow. So I'm like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden it came up at about 5:15. Now the good, I mean, we have backups and we have other things. And for that matter, I could use my iPhone as a hotspot and we have other ways to get on. So that wasn't a problem necessarily, but still not the full, you know, speed that we like that we have from Comcast usually. So I wonder if something's going on with that whole ransomware. This ransomware hack, by the way, is supposedly much more intense. It's wider and it's much more, disruptive than the last one. The we cry, I cry, somebody cries. Wanna cry?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you hearing about this?
Well, I mean, I think that their mechanism for getting it installed, which is what you have to do, somehow you got to have make somebody click on something. I think this just improved it. I mean, ransomware is ransomware. Once they start encrypting your disk and asking for money, what's worse than that? You can't make it worse.
Now, they only want to get paid in Bitcoin, right?
Yes, and this is another interesting theory.
So what I don't understand, though, is if Bitcoin, while it is somewhat, I don't want to call it anonymous, but it is, it leaves a digital footprint, why can't they just trace it back?
I should be able to answer that question. But I mean, there's some mechanism that makes it almost impossible.
I just don't understand it, because if we know how the blockchain works and how you can trace back and look at all the individual transactions, it would seem like it would be pretty easy to trace it back to the party that's getting all the money from this deal. It would just seem it would seem that way to me. And by the way, speaking about these Bitcoins and all that, there's been some action in the crypto cyber currency markets this week. We saw that Ethereum dropped from, I think the high was like 420 down to like 211. We saw that Bitcoin went from 3,000 down to like 2,200. It's, you know, 2,300. It looks like there's a lot of disruption going on in this area, and a lot of people are getting burned because a lot of people are jumping in at the last minute here, as usual.
Well, yeah, I stay away from it.
Yeah. Well, here's some good news. Well, I guess this is good news for certain companies and certain sectors. It's been, I think, 3 or 4 days that have gone by since Amazon has announced a sector-killing move. They had like 3 moves in a row last week that was like, oh my.
Yeah.
So this has been 3 days now. And then some of the companies are making a little bit of a comeback. And they're kind of starting to move, like Kroger. Kroger's starting to move a little bit. We're seeing that. We're seeing United National Foods move a little bit. Target's up a little bit. I bought these stocks on that major dip for client accounts. It was pretty nice little move there when all hell was breaking loose that morning. Let's see. There's some big news for car companies, rental car companies. This was a bit of a head scratcher for me. I'll be honest with you, okay? So the first, we saw an announcement yesterday that Google is announcing a partnership with Avis Budget to use their self-driving tech in cars. So immediately that appeared to me when I read the story and all that was better for Google, because now while Avis Budget may have self-driving cars, you have to wonder whether people are going to use it anyway. Right? Because they're having a lot of problems, you know, competing with Google and Lyft and all that. Whereas my father
Budget and Avis are having trouble?
Have you seen their stocks?
No, I have not followed them at all.
They're in the toilet.
Really?
Oh, toilet. Horrible.
Hmm. So people aren't renting as much and they're using Uber?
Yeah. Wait. Where have you been? Seriously, are you kidding with me? Are you kidding? You're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm a little bit, but not really. And here's the reason I say that. When I go someplace, I really do not like, I've said this, maybe it's just me. I think it's just me. You know, I used to do a lot of public speaking. I don't get invited back. But they'd always ask if I wanted a limo, you know, or something like that. I said, no, I want to rent a car. I like to drive around aimlessly taking photos. I'm going to visit a new area. I've never been to this part of the country before. Let me just go check it out in my car that I rented. And I just find it uncomfortable to take like an Uber from the airport to my hotel. And then now I got nothing. I got nothing to drive around. And so I'm always stunned by people that, even though I will say this, that the car rental business has turned into a disaster over the years because of the fees. Yeah, $19 a day. It turns out to be $60 a day. Airport fee, parking fee, return fee, this fee, that fee, licensing fee, state extra tax on rentals and all one thing or another. So apparently I'm stunned by this development.
Well, first of all, let me set the stage on a few things here. If you were actually to speak and you did the job and you were actually invited back, okay? And when you were invited back, you already had seen the area with your own car. So now there's nothing else to see. You know the place you like to go. I would bet that you'd use an Uber possibly just to get around. It's very easy.
No.
Okay. Well,
because for one thing, you never see the area. I don't care where you go. What you saw was something you could spend a day or two on, but most areas take months or maybe even years to fully grasp or see. I mean, even in New York, you stay in one little neighborhood and it takes you could take you a week to just get used to that neighborhood so you knew what was going on around there, let alone the whole city.
Well, in New York, I wouldn't rent a car. I wouldn't have a car because I wouldn't be able to park it. But that's another story in New York and some of these other cities. I will tell you that in the past, I would always rent a car. Now I'm going, for example, at the end of the summer to Montauk, New York, and I'll be renting a car because it's easier out there. There's nothing out there, so you got to rent a car. But generally speaking, a lot of people have opted to use Uber or some other ride sharing arrangement to get around rather than having the burden of having a car. And, you know, maybe they have private tours set up for whatever reason. Maybe they're in a city. They just want to get from here to there. There may be public transportation otherwise. But for whatever reason, the Hertz and Avis Budget and all these companies are doing terribly, terrible. And to a point that, I mean, the stocks are, I mean, really down, I don't know, 60, 70%. So,
well, that would explain their aggressive pricing.
It could
be. Which doesn't help their money.
It could be. I mean, who wants to get into like a wait at the airport for the bus and then they schlep you over to your place. And then you got to, do I tip the guy because he picked my bag up and put it into the car? And then I got to get there. And then I got to return the car. Do I choose? Oh, do I get a pre-fill? Do I fill it? I got to add it up. I got to figure it out. Do I take the insurance, not take the insurance? The toll thing. It's just, you know, it could be a little bit cumbersome for some people. Many people seem to find it much easier just to get an Uber. I'm just telling you what's going on. So what's happening is...
Yes, and these are the same people that will go to some town like, I don't know, Indianapolis, which is actually an interesting little place. And they'll go and check in at their hotel, do whatever they have to do at their little convention, never leave the hotel.
Yep.
Get on a plane and go back home.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Okay, well, there you go. There you have it.
There's also people that are, for whatever reason, let's just agree that there are a group of people that like to use this service. Maybe they're wrong. They're stupid. They don't see anything.
No, I'm not saying that. My son is like a huge user. My wife uses it. I mean, everybody uses the Uber. I'm the only one who – I'll use it if somebody else sets it up, but I prefer renting cars. I mean, I guess I'm an old – I'm out of fashion.
Okay, well, here's the point. So – Google announces a partnership with Avis Budget to use their self-driving cars, tech in the cars. And the Avis Budget stock went up dramatically. Just a couple of hours later, Apple announced a deal with Hertz for self-driving technology, which, by the way, I thought they were out of that whole thing. Didn't Apple kind of say they're not going to be working on
They never said what you're saying. They said they're not going to do a car.
Oh, so maybe they created technology and they're going to do a deal with Hertz. Yeah. So each stock was up about 14% of the news. They were very heavily shorted and clearly seeing short squeeze. I did not see any reason why those stocks would be up on that news, just on the news that they're going to have self-driving technology that they're going
to
be using. I would
have to agree.
Yeah.
It was I'll tell you why I agree with that. Most of the cars that are coming out in the future are going to have these technologies built into them. So when Hertz buys their new fleet, they're going to have that built into the Fords and Chevys and Malibus and Toyotas, whatever they buy anyway. So what is the point of all this? This is just dumb.
Yeah, I don't.
To retrofit old cars? They don't keep their cars that long.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole thing. And if, in fact, this whole self-driving car thing really hits right, you won't need all the cars on the road as we've seen, because you'd have, for example, individuals having the opportunity to just lease out the cars without a driver. You know, I'll say,
yeah, that's what would, if true self-driving cars, the thing that's popular right now are these kind of half self-driving cars, autopilot types.
Right.
I mean, everybody wants that. It's cool. I mean, but the true self-driving car where you don't need any, the car just drives itself around town. Yeah, that changes everything. It screws up everything.
Listen, there is even on an airplane when they pretty much perfected autopilot, right? Still, there has to be pilots watching over things, making sure things happen right. Of course, landings and takeoffs. On my boat, I have autopilot. But we just use that for a few things, very special things, like going a long distance on a straight line, get me there. I don't have to touch the steering wheel, but I still have to man the station. If we're fishing, it does things like does figure eights for us or circles for us or whatever, so that you can kind of have, let's say, two people, one person maybe fishing and the boat is doing its thing versus just driving all over the place. You know, just going all over the place and tying up your lines.
By the way, autopilots can also land the planes.
Well, see, there you go. And obviously there's a reason aside from the unions that there's pilots. So a quick teaser. One of the stocks in our game that we talk about at the end of the show, I'll just tell you right now so you stay online here, is up a whopping 80% since we bought it. And we'll discuss that at the end of the show. Hey, like that.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been some renewed talk that the drawn out, and it's been drawn out, merger discussion between Rite Aid and Walgreens may be coming to some kind of a conclusion or maybe a resolution. There was an article that was put out on Monday. The interesting thing about this was that there was some comments from an unnamed source that was formerly in the FTC that said that this thing probably is going to go through. We talked about this last week, and we said that if it doesn't go through, is there a potential for Amazon to grab onto this and start a whole pharmacy business with Rite Aid?
Yeah, we did discuss this.
Yep. We should have done something about on it because the stock was up 30%, even though our thesis didn't play out so far.
No, the thesis did not play out.
But the stock
interesting.
Was, 30%. It was down about 10% today. But there is some thought that the thing is going to go up because this has just been wallowing. Not doing well after because it's just taking too long for this whole deal to go through.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Back to monopoly issues. Have you looked at this site called howmuch.net?
I don't think so. What does it do?
It kind of tells you all like how much something maybe costs or how many of this. And it's all in graphical format and some kind of really cool motion graphics or just infographics. Kind of a cool site overall about things. But one of the things I found that I thought was interesting today was how many hours do people have to work around the world in various countries to buy 1 gallon of gas? So there's some charts.
Yeah, I saw this chart. Like, it's kind of fascinating.
This is on howmuch.net. We put on the DH Unplugged website where you can see all the things. Those are the show notes for episode number 367. You can see this. Just click on this. But so 1 hour, the amount of hours worked to buy 1 gallon of gas. So kind of go through this chart a little bit.
Yeah, it's not really a chart. It's a map showing all these parts of the world where can you get a gallon of gas for less than an hour's work? Or, of course, what does an hour's work amount to? You're a psychiatrist? I think they're talking about average
wage.
$15, $20 an hour, whatever. Yeah. Even minimum wage. Maybe they're using, even if minimum wage, it still works, this chart or this map. or one or two hours. And what's interesting is there's what's interesting. Interesting is the use of the word interesting.
I think
is the rather few numbers of countries where it's less than an hour. It would include us, Canada, Australia, most of Europe, Saudi Arabia, a lot of the Middle Eastern countries. But the ones that are really outrageous are like Georgia, the Georgia Republic, mm-hmm. is 57 hours of work to get a gallon of gas. Bangladesh is 46 hours of work, so it's cheaper there. It's just a fascinating thing to look at. Mexico takes 5 to 10 hours. The more I look at it, the more I'm doubtful.
Why?
I don't know. Brazil, for example, I've been to Brazil. You can get it. The gas is cheap there, and it seems like it shouldn't be the 2 to 5 hours, unless they're just counting everybody in the country, all the poor people in the
country. Yeah, they count. This is the average, because if you think about it, it says the U.S. is 21 minutes. So that's what? That's a third of an hour. Okay. So that means that if we think about that, that would mean about, it's about $2.50, $7, $8 an hour. And what's the minimum wage? About $8. The average person, you know, if you take $8 an hour, it's about $18,000 a year on, you know, it's probably what the average pay is in the United States.
Yeah, I guess.
But the next couple of charts I thought were really interesting. The countries with the least amount of hours to work in order to get gas. So Venezuela, which pretty much they give free gas to everybody.
It's pretty much free gas.
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes you have to work to get a gallon of gas. U.S., we said, is 21 minutes. Oman is 24 minutes. Norway, 25 minutes. U.K., 28 minutes. Now, here's what's really interesting. The most amount of hours that you have to work on the list. Check this out. In Uganda, you have to work 350 hours. That's what, 10 weeks?
It's a lot.
I'm speculating here, but I'm pretty certain there's not a lot of SUVs there.
No.
Right? Probably a preponderance of scooters.
Yes, I would say mopeds.
Moped, scooters. Cuba is 100 hours, which is interesting about Cuba, because for a while there, what I learned when I was recently there was that in Cuba, they used to trade with Venezuela when Venezuela was doing a lot better before they had their meltdown. They would get free gas and they would exchange things like corn and sugar and various other agricultural items to Venezuela, because the two leaders were very chummy. But I guess something has changed here. So you got to work 100 hours.
The one leader's dead and the other one's kind of dead.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Georgia, 57 hours. Tanzania, 30 hours. Number 8, what is that? Kyrgyzstan. Yep. You have number 9, Guinea. Yep. And Madagascar rounds off the list. Pretty fascinating. Back to since we're talking about this driving issue. There was a recent story about Tesla, a guy named Josh Brown, who his car warned him 7 different times to put his hands back on the wheel before he actually ended up getting into an accident. They did some research on this, and
is this the guy who died plowing into a truck at 100 miles an hour?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The crash was near Gainesville, Florida in 2016. And they found out in the crash that he had his hands on the wheel of the Model S for 25 seconds out of 37 minutes that the car was on autopilot. So in other words, his hands were never on the wheel. Maybe when he started the car, maybe when he leaned over to get something from the back seat. 25 seconds out of 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question for you. When did Tesla get autopilot approved that is available on the road? I was unaware that this was the case.
I don't know of it. I do know Adam Curry borrowed a friend of his, a banker, who had a Tesla, and he took it for a ride. Some had to go somewhere, and the banker was going to be out of town. He used the Tesla.
Yeah.
He says that this autopilot thing is so good even though it's not really like a true autopilot the way the Google thing is, there's no LiDAR or anything. It's just pretty much just a bunch of little radar sensors on the thing and a lot of visual sensors. He says the thing's so good you never want to drive it.
You never want to drive it?
Yeah, you just, yeah, let's kiss or something, you know, just something else.
Ah, just have a little
drink. It's like, no, yeah, have a beer. Yeah. Nobody, it's just like, it's just unbelievable how good it is. Mostly on the freeway where it keeps, you know, keeps you in line with the other cars.
Now, did Adam have an accident-free event?
Yeah.
No problems at all?
No, none. He was thought it was, he came back a true believer.
I mean, I'm sure it's really cool, but if I mean, at the same time, I'm still not understanding when it became. I know they have the autopilot update that came out. I was just very unaware of its legality on the road.
I don't think they can advertise it or something. I think it's just like a bonus feature, or it's like, is do you need a special permit to have cruise control?
No, I suppose not.
I don't think so. I think it's in that same category.
Well, yeah, interesting. Well, I don't know about you, but I've decided I want to be queen. Queen for a day at least.
Now you can move to San Francisco.
It seems that the Queen of England is receiving an 8% increase in income from public funds after the Crown's estate profits rose by about £24 million. They call this the sovereign grant, which pays for the salaries of her household, official travel, and upkeep of palaces increased to more than £6 million for the £6 million for the 2018-19 period. And it comes as accounts revealed the Queen's official net expenditures last year increased by about £2 million to almost £42 million.
She has a £42 million personal budget?
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
How do you like that?
I think Larry Ellison could top that. See that boat he bought? I mean, she doesn't even have one that big.
Is a powerboat? Or I know he's a very big sailor.
Yeah, powerboat. Yeah, it's a powerboat the size of the Queen Mary.
Wow.
I think it's the second or third largest yacht in the world.
I know he's also very, very big with the America's Cup, and he's won.
Oh, yeah.
Some.
Well,
he's
no, he does. He can sail.
Yeah.
But his yacht is not a sailing boat at all.
Yeah. On to some more internet-related items. Good news. It could be good news. You may not see this as good news. Facebook's chief, CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced today that the social media network had 2 billion monthly users. So what is that? Is that like 15, 20? What's the population of the world? Got 5 billion.
4 or 5.
Yeah, so he has like 50% of the world.
Yeah, sure he does.
Monthly users. I don't know what that means if they stop by once. If they stop by, I don't know. The company has had almost 2 billion using a service as of March, so they increased to 17% from a year earlier. There you go.
Well, of all those 2 billion, most of them hate Trump. It's the only thing I know.
On Facebook? The Trump haters? Yeah. I went back to Dillard's, by the way, to get my pants. My pants were being altered. They were being hemmed. I remember I got the last time I was there, one of the guys in the other department told me I couldn't.
Yeah, about the back and forth with who's going to pick up the tab.
Yeah, who's gonna get the commission.
Who's going to ring it up.
Yep. So I decided this time, I was a little bothered by this. And so the original guy, Larry, was there. And he was, or Irving, or whatever his name is. He was there. He got me my pants, tried them. Everything was fine. So on the way out, I said, by the way, I got to ask you a question. If I was to buy something in that department right over there, could I ring it up over here? He says, of course you could. I said, because, the other guy, he's kind of a short guy, balding. Oh, he gave me I know that guy. I said, he told me that I couldn't do that, that I had to pay for the items here. Just wanted to let you know. So I ratted him out. What do you think? I think that was the right thing to do.
I don't know. It wasn't the wrong thing to do. I mean, you don't owe the guy anything, the other guy.
Right.
In fact, he lied to you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you should have ratted him out. He's no good. He's a no good guy.
Yep. No good guy. No good fella. We do not have a close to the pin running right now. We do, of course, have the donation contest running. Whoever gives the biggest donation this week will make sure that you are the winner. And duly...
send them a t-shirt.
We could do that. Yeah, that's a good idea. If we have a minimum of 5 donations and the biggest one, I'm not going to tell you where they start. So it's the biggest donation will get a t-shirt. Yes,
wide open.
Yep. Just go over to DH Unplugged and click the donate button. Got some good donations last week. That was very nice of everybody. Okay, on to some other items. And we have some leftovers. Make sure we cover them real quick. Takata. This is the company that has the failed airbags. You know, in Japan.
And they're still in business. What kind of margin is on these airbags?
Well, they just filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, okay.
Bankruptcy protection.
Good for them.
Because obviously it wasn't going well. And
obviously every airbag they ever made is no good.
Yep. And they had to replace them and it was a big problem. But, you know, just as it's always the case when it relates to Japan, they will wait forever because they will never admit wrongdoing. You know, just look at what happened at Fukushima. When Fukushima hit, you and I talked about how this is a terrible disaster. It's not going to be cleaned up for years. It's going to be an ongoing problem and cost billions of dollars. And we talked about this and we were right. It took them 2 years to admit to this while it was under investigation.
They don't like losing face.
They don't. But you know what? I think they should go back to the old ways. Somebody should be falling on a sword here.
Yeah, no, the Harikari knife. Someone should ship this guy a knife.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do this? Take the knife. You could save face for your family. We'll let you have, we'll let you have, you know, the money that you were making on salary and insurance policy. We'll let you do the company go through bankruptcy, but somebody's got to make, you know, take it. And you're the man, but nope, they won't. So they're basically going to file for creditor protection in the U.S. and Japan. And they listed the company listed about $10 billion in liabilities, including claims from automakers, including Honda, the biggest user of their airbags, and Toyota, as well as individuals have brought class action lawsuits. So, you know, they'll get away with it very nicely.
Sounds like it.
In Asia,
those airbags still have to be replaced. Yeah, so the automakers are going to take it in the shorts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In Asia, continuing on the discussion of that area, flight from Shanghai to Guangzhou was delayed this week. You may want to know why that was.
Because snakes on a plane.
No. An elderly woman, but passenger who was, I guess, very superstitious, decided that it would be a good idea. I don't know how she did this, but if she would throw coins into the plane's engine to ensure good luck. So they had to, I guess, make sure there's no dents on the jet engines or whatever.
It must have been one of those outdoor walk-ins.
Yeah. And one of the engines was
stairway. And so as she's walking up the stairs, she throws these coins at the jet engine, which is probably not running.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. Florida man spent 90 days in jail. I don't know if you saw the story after police officers who stopped him for driving without headlights saw white powder in his car. And they said it was cocaine. But the guy, Carlos Cache, finally walked out of jail last week as the lab results determined the powder in the handyman's car was actually drywall. He was telling everybody the whole time, this is drywall. This is not cocaine. This is not drywall. But after running a check, they found, when they originally ran the check on him, they found he was on probation for marijuana and cocaine charges in 2015. And a canine alerted on his vehicle that there was something there. And the officer's field test was positive for cocaine. So maybe he was mixing it up with it for some reason or whatever it was. But I guess that, you know, he was finally found.
Yeah. I think they just busted him. The cops tell the dogs what to do half the time.
Oh.
And this sounds like the cops just sloppy.
This story I like a lot. Only because I like saying this gentleman's name. Here's a guy that he embedded what's called the Opal near field communication chip. He cut it down. It was inside of a credit card thing, which is used for, I think it's an Australia, I believe it is. It's used for public transportation, like a bus card, and you can fill it up. The guy's name is a biohacker, Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
Yeah, that's his, a mouthful.
That's his legal name. So Mr. Meow Meow took the chip from his Opal card and he inserted it into his hand underneath his skin so he could now just put his hand up wherever he is and I guess no more fumbling in his man purse for the card.
Chipped himself.
Yeah, exactly. Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow.
Well, it's probably a trend.
Yeah, I guess so. What, the name or the chip thing?
Both.
I just like it. Meow Ludo Disco Gamma Meow Meow. Okay, some leftovers here. We saw some, I guess, by the way, I guess now global warming does exist. We saw, you know, all this fanfare about the extreme heat forecast for Phoenix last Tuesday that caused cancellation of 20 American Airlines flights out of Sky Harbor International Airport. According to a statement from American Airlines, the regional flights that use the Bombardier CRJ aircraft, which had a maximum operating temperature of 118 degrees, and the forecast was as high as 120, all this. Now.
Yeah, plane can't take off.
So everybody's all worked up that this is, oh my God, the hottest time and this global warming, it's going to take down the airlines and all that. Yes, I looked this up. The average in this area, the average low is 72. The average high in June is 102. So 118 degrees is definitely hot. However, the record high before the word global warming really came into the vernacular, as it is today, was in June of 1990 at 122 degrees.
Yeah.
So actually, we're cooling off a little bit, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a positive thing. It's going down.
Yeah, exactly. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren renewed her attack on Wells Fargo, urging the Federal Reserve to remove the 12 directors who were on the board when banking employees set up legions of fake customer accounts. Now, Congress empowered the Fed to remove board members if they violate the law or engage in unsafe business practices that cause banks and federal deposit insurers to suffer losses. She wrote to Janet Yellen. She says, I urge you to exercise your legal authority to remove the holdover Wells Fargo board members. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? All right. Yeah, you know, these, back to the old thing we know. Just like we talked about Japan, they get away with this stuff. We know this, right? A few people get fired, a few heads roll, a little bonuses. You know, instead of making, listen, you're not making your $20 million bonus this year. You're only getting 17. So we know this is going to go on. But here's really interesting what's happening. Even as this whole thing with Wells Fargo was going on last year and this major scandal was coming out about the consumer banking and fake accounts, it seems that officials in the company's mortgage business were putting through unauthorized changes to home loans held by customers in bankruptcy. There's a new class action lawsuit.
Jeez, it's time to start arresting some of these people.
They need to take their pens away.
Not firing them from the board.
Right. Yep. The changes typically lowered your monthly loan. This is what they did. This is so unbelievable. Now, this is from bankruptcy situations, okay? The changes typically lowered the monthly loan payments, which would seem to benefit the borrowers, particularly those in bankruptcy. But deep in the details was this fact. Wells Fargo changes would extend the term of the borrower's loans by decades. So what they did is they said, you know what? You have to pay $1,000 a month. You're in bankruptcy and all that. And it's adding up and all. We could reduce it down to $700 a month. Okay. But but instead of having 15 years left.
We're doing you a favor. We're your friendly banker. We help you. Yeah. We're here to help you.
So instead of having, let's say, 15 more years left on your mortgage, they extend it to, let's say, 25. Ultimately having to pay back the bank much more. So these people probably said, well, if I do that, maybe I could I'm in bankruptcy. I'm not going to pay it anymore. Let it add up and let's see what happens. But man, if I could reduce it by that much, I'll start paying it off. Maybe I'll just get myself from under this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Good work, Wells.
These people are just terrible.
They are.
I mean, there's other words, but a couple of things here. Global diabetes has increased by 40% over the last 2 years, according to a new report released on Monday. Aetna International released Diabetes, the world's weightiest health challenge. found that diabetes, which in a group of...
I think that accounts for the same expansion of McDonald's.
Probably. 69% increase in North and South America last year alone. What's going on? I mean, I know that in like India,
it's the food supply.
Is that what it is? All the sugars and all the
bad? I personally think it's the way we... I haven't elucidated this in any real way, but I think it's the wheat. I think the way we treat the wheat to age it, because you have to age wheat for it to do anything. And we use chemicals. And I think the most popular chemicals that we use to fake age the wheat is what's causing the problem. That it's a possibility.
So it all gets back down to the same thing once again. It's all about the bottom line. So we're killing people because it's profitable. And we're okay with that.
Well, nobody knows it, you know, maybe it's that, maybe it's not. You know, it's cheaper, best price.
And finally, standing room only. This is back again and is probably still a stupid idea. Ryanair did this a few years ago. Standing room only, standing seats on a plane.
Yeah. I think this just comes up every so often as a gag.
Maybe. Viva Colombia is the latest budget carrier to express interest in so-called vertical seating, akin to perching on a bar stool, which would enable airlines to cram more passengers into flights. You get a stand-up thing and a thing in front of you so you can lean a little bit?
I don't know what the point is. I mean, you're cramped in there enough. I mean, maybe you get more room if you're standing. I have no idea how they're going to make this work. But you're right. This keeps cropping up. And I think that they're excited about it, the airlines. You know, we could put another 50 people on the plane if we make them all stand.
They'll be so angry. People, is it like what? Do you get slammed into like a cage thing? Like, you know, those rides at the amusement park that you stand up, you get slammed in, and then it does spinning around so you don't move?
Yeah.
Is that the kind
like
of thing?
That.
Do you envision that?
No one's going to get mad. The other thing they do, which also saves money, is they cut down on the oxygen supply.
Oh, God.
So you're kind of like half out of it, you know, while you're in the air because you're not getting enough oxygen. So you're never going to get mad. You just go, you can barely, stay awake.
That's an idea.
Yeah. Well, they do that now.
Yeah. They don't do that.
Yeah, they do.
They don't do it purposefully.
Yeah, they do. It saves money.
You think they cut down on the oxygen supply on the planes?
Yeah, they do. It's a pretty well. Look it up.
Don't they have like oxygen filters that come in from the outside and it comes in?
They got a heap of filters to filter the air. Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
They keep the oxygen numbers down so people don't get unruly.
I'm bringing my own oxygen tank with me. That's it. I'm gonna bring my scuba gear. That's what I'm doing. Before we get to the game and talk about some of the great stocks and the ideas we have there, what is you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I actually wrote a review-ish. I haven't seen one, but I read all the specs, read about it, and voiced my opinions about the new Echo Show from Amazon, which is going to be shipping this week.
And? Well, you have to read the article.
Are you familiar with what this is?
I know what the Echo is. I'm not sure if I know what the Echo Show is.
The Echo Show has a screen.
Oh.
And so now it can take phone calls. Ugh. And what it really amounts to, it's a video phone, you know, circa 1958 Disneyland, video phone that is got all the features of the Echo. And it has, it's a video phone. That's what it is. So it takes phone calls and you can, see the other person if they care to show you.
Because this is not available on any technology today.
Yeah. No, never heard of such a thing.
Okay.
But the way I look at it is, as far as I'm concerned, it's a listening device that you voluntarily put in your own home. And now you have a remote viewing device in your own home that you put there that the government can use to spy on you.
I am not putting anything that has an open mic in any area that I am going to be in at any time.
Yeah, I think it's silly.
Yeah, I don't like
it. And I also predict that this device, because it has this feature called drop-in, where you declare that you're available for a drop-in and somebody can just hook it, it's like Skype. They can just go right now. You're looking at them in
their
house.
It's like auto answer?
Something like that, oh, yeah.
How awful.
And so you'd be
sitting there picking your nose or something like that.
So the way I see it, this is like a bad idea. Figured that the hackers will go right after this because they've already gone after baby monitors. They'll go after this stuff. And then the next thing you know, there'll be some website you'll find. You see, perverts are us, out of Venezuela or Bolivia. And then you're going to see your own camera lit up on the pervert site.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Scammers. I don't like the whole thing. I don't like it. It's enough. No, it's enough already. It's enough. People aren't talking to people as it is. Now we have to talk to machines, and then we have to talk to people that we don't want to talk to when we don't want to talk to them, possibly because maybe we left the thing on the auto answer device, and then you have it with the video thing, and then since you have it and you're going to be using it as a video device, the camera could automatically be put on too. Then you're walking around. Oh, yeah.
Walking around naked in your own house.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
No good. No good. All right, let's get to the stocks. I'll also remind everybody that we are going to be on hiatus for 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks. So, what is that?
What?
I got something on my screen that asked if I want to have a location service. I'm talking about this automatic stuff. Maybe that's what happened. Anyway, let's take a look at the stocks that we, I got to bring them up here. The stocks that we have here, this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy any security. It's just simply some ideas that we come up with each and every week on some stocks that could have maybe some interesting opportunities. And therefore, what we do is we will post them on the DH Unplugged website. And again, if in fact you decide to use any of our discussion here for your own investments, please seek professional financial advice. Stocks may be owned by Harvest Company and clients, myself, or John C. Dvorak, and that will be duly noted whether it is. That's all of our little things there. Anyway, a few of the stocks we know got booted off. Nothing got booted off this week, so that's good.
No, but you have a big winner all of a sudden.
Yeah, big winner.
Yeah, Cara Therapeutics is up 82.7%.
Yeah, this is a stock that I've liked. I own for clients. I own for myself. This is a stock that I've been looking at for a while now because they have two things. First, I identified it as a medical marijuana type of stock. They have actually something in the pipeline that deals with pain therapy using the marijuana plant. But the second thing that was really interesting to me about the stock was that they have a kappa opioid receptor inhibitor. All that fancy stuff means that they have a pain management type of drug that hits a different part of the body, specifically targeting these pain areas, but are not opioid related. So therefore, if this whole battle for the, against opioids is going on, if this drug worked, I said, well, this is going to be pretty cool.
I see your logic.
Yeah. So
yeah,
they finally got fast track and another approval in their phase three of their one of their pipeline drugs that does just this, and the stock shot up this week from about it was about 18.5, which was the high breakthrough point to where it is. It was actually as high as 2860. Yeah, so it was about 2642. It was as high as about 27.25. Came down a little bit from the high today. It was up another 10% today, 13% yesterday, 13% the day before. Up 82.71%. It'll be kicked off if it goes down about 5%.
Winner for the year.
Yeah, that was a good one. But otherwise, things are looking okay. Campbell Soup, I don't know why, is not doing well.
It's not doing poorly.
No, but it's just you would think that the Campbell Soup is a kind of a slow grower.
It is doing poorly. It's down 6%.
Yeah.
On insider buying.
Yep.
It'll be back.
Yeah. Twilio up 16%. Stock that I don't like, by the way, but it just got so slammed that I said, remember that? Long shot bounce?
Yeah. 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 And you're up. You're way up.
CSX Corporation, your choo-choo company.
Yeah.
Is up 3.5%. Straight Path, hold it on. Pentair down about 1.7. Your Kinder Morgan up 2.8, which is very good, by the way, considering where oil is, I must say. Still good.
Well, eventually, that'll be a $50 stock.
That'd be good.
Not in the next month.
Oh.
Maybe, 2020.
My Tesla short is finally up.
Yes.
And your Alexion Pharmaceuticals that you bought because of the Baker Brothers.
Yeah.
is up 2.67%. I do not have any particular positions that I'm bringing to the fore today.
Well, I'm going to drop one in then.
Okay.
Revlon.
Oh, really? There's a lot going on with that stock.
Yeah, well, something's going on.
Maybe they're going to be bunch bought.
Of, look, Ronald Perelman, we all know him, has been buying it. And here's his like recent purchases. On June 19th, he bought $2.7 million worth. On June 20th, he bought $3.1 million worth. On June 21st, he bought $2.2 million worth. So he's buying it for some reason. I'm guessing there's going to be a merger acquisition thing going on here, because I don't see that Revlon stock per se is going to skyrocket because they have a new foundation or some new makeup color. I don't think so.
I thought there was some news on Revlon. Let's see here. Oops. I did something. Okay, so REV news. Let's see. Revlon news. Revlon on tax worker fired over alleged licensing to wins back jobs, but Revlon, no. Yeah, I don't have anything. Maybe it's just going to, maybe it is.
He's been buying it for a while. Let's put it that way. Lots of it. I don't know what his holdings is. Right now, I'll tell you. Here's his holdings. I have it. His current holdings is 43 million shares.
Wow. That's not just a little thing on the side there.
No, it's quite a bit. And he was once down as low at, what has he got here? He's actually got a lot, and he's been adding to it. And he's had a lot for a while. Hmm. So generally speaking, if you've got a lot and you're adding to it, and you're it's just boosting it another little bit here and there, it seems to me that you're just trying to milk some last bucks before the deal goes through, whatever it is. Hmm. So I want to get in a little more because it's a sure thing. Because otherwise, if it's not a sure thing, why would you do this in the first place? You got so much already.
Yeah, I mean, Revlon bought Elizabeth Arden last year sometime, I guess. It's kicking off a structure move as part of the company acquisition of Elizabeth Arden. Actually, a friend of mine was the CFO of that company. Yeah, I like it. They're a makeup powerhouse, and makeup companies have been doing pretty. I mean, generally speaking, like there's a few different stores that deal with makeup, and the women's perfumes and makeups have been doing very well. So there you go.
Yeah, these stores pack them in. We have over here in Berkeley on 4th Street. There's a Mac store.
Yeah.
And it's on the corner, and the thing just packed all the time with people.
All the time. Can't get enough of that lipstick.
Anyway, okay, so that's all I got.
All right, well, I will see you in a couple of weeks. I will report in from my various journeys. I'm looking forward to the one area in particular, Croatia. I hear that.
Where are you going to Croatia?
Yeah.
On this boat?
Yeah.
Where are they going to take you?
Dubrovnik and some other city.
Oh, you're going to love Dubrovnik.
Yeah. I heard the wines are great, and
The wines are really better in Slovenia. And
I'm going to Slovenia too.
Slovenia's got the best wine, even though they don't have a lot of it. They have great champagne clone. It's just like a champagne; you wouldn't know the difference. Slovenia's got great wine. Croatia's got really good wine too. I mean, there's just, if you look where Italy is and where they are, it's just right across from wine growing areas. It's all pretty much the same
latitude,
soil.
Longitude, whatever it is.
Yeah. But Dubrovnik, which is this ancient town, is just a dynamite place to wander around.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I heard the fish is just terrific. The food is very...
Oh, the Croatians and the Slovenians both, but the Croatians mainly, they say that they can by taste, identify 150 different kinds of fish. They eat lots of different kinds of fish. There's a little... there's a fish restaurant right outside the main gate into Dubrovnik that is one of the best in the country. And I'm looking
forward to, so do I send you my food pictures or not?
Yeah, send them.
All right. I'll send them.
You'll like it. It's too bad you're on a boat. You can't spend a couple of days in the town at the hotels. They've got a couple of nice hotels.
Well, this boat, what's nice about this is that they actually depart at 10 p.m. So you get in really early the whole entire day and night there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if I hate this whole boat thing. It's the first time on one of these long cruises through, many countries.
Yeah, as long as you don't get Legionnaire's disease or Noro.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. I'll be lathering up with that Purell every time I go into the dining room. All right, I will speak to you then in a couple of weeks.
Okay, see you then. Have a nice trip.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.